He was a man of character, a man of sterling integrity, a man that would not compromise his convictions. Abraham Lincoln. Welcome to another episode of The Master's Brush. During this series of programs, we are exploring the powerful impact of Christian art, and particularly Nathan Green's art. We're here in Nathan's studio. Nathan, we've looked during this series at a number of your paintings, oil paintings, watercolors. We're looking at a different kind of a painting today, more of a sketch.
Yes.
But before we get into that, give us the setting of this particular sketch.
Well, recently I was commissioned to do a painting of Abraham Lincoln. And as you know me personally, I have a love of American history and history in general, world history. But the more I've looked into and studied Abraham Lincoln, the more I come to admire the man. I think he was truly a great man. But I've been commissioned to do a painting of him after he spent the day reviewing the troops. This was actually in 1862 when he went to visit after the Battle of Antietam. He visited the troops all day. He visited the wounded soldiers from both sides. General McClellan took him all around the battlefield to see where it all took place. He had a lot on his heart at this time, and the war was very heavy on his mind. And when he came back to the tent that was set up for him after a long day of reviewing everyone, I imagine he probably kicked off his boots and got comfortable and pulled out a little pocket Bible. We don't know for sure that he did this, but it's very plausible because he knew the scriptures very well. So this is a scene of him at the end of the day. There's still campfires outside. You can see through the tent flap, soldiers gathered around talking and discussing and singing songs perhaps, and Lincoln alone in his tent reading a little pocket Bible.
Obviously this sketch, as I would call it, is not complete. I would assume it would be an oil painting one day.
That's right.
Take us through the stages you go through in the preparation of an oil painting.
Usually a painting starts with a conceptual idea, which could be in my imagination or it could be a rough sketch. Sometimes I'll show a rough sketch to a client. But from that idea, once the idea is approved, I go out and look for models and props and costumes and whatever it takes to bring it all together and make it a real scene. And I am a stickler for authenticity, so I go to extra lengths to find things that are accurate and authentic, especially for historical pieces.
When you developed this piece, this art sketch, so at first you'll take pictures, then you come to the point of actually sketching it out?
Yes. When I set up the whole scene right here in my studio and do photography with the models and the props and the costumes, then I go back to sketching it all out. And that's what you see behind you here. It's a preliminary drawing, one of two that I did for conceptual drawings to show the client.
How long would a sketch like that take you to do?
Well, this is a little more complex than the average sketch, but this one took about 3 to 4 weeks to do.
And what do you sketch it with, in actual fact?
Well, I happen to have one in my pocket here, but I just use a 5mm lead drafting pencil, just like that.
You are saying to me that with this little drafting pencil, you
yes.
did this piece behind us?
Yes.
It's quite magnificent.
Well, I do refill the lead a lot. I think I went through about $50 of leads to do this sketch. So, yes.
Now, it really looks quite authentic. When you come from the dress of Lincoln to the socks he's wearing
yes.
to the chest that's right down before him, where do you get all these artifacts and how authentic are they?
Well, some of them are extremely authentic because they are actually things that were used during the Civil War. I mean, between us here, you see this blue chest here with the blue milk paint, that's Union blue. This was a chest that actually was owned by Captain J.B. Campbell during the Civil War, an artillery officer who survived the war, went on to fight in the Indian campaigns out west, and eventually became the the military commander of Alaska. And I bought it out at a Civil War collection shop in Gettysburg. But some of the other things are replicas. For example, the beaver hat. It's a genuine beaver hat that I bought at a hat supplier in Gettysburg. The suit that I had made for the model for Lincoln was made by one of the leading seamstresses of authentic historic clothing from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Even the sword, the canteens, the haversacks, those were all replicas.
You mentioned that you really had a great love and admiration for Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, Lincoln, you know, so many heroes, when we examine them closely, they lose their luster, don't they? But Lincoln, like I said, the more I study Lincoln, the more I respect his integrity, his honesty, the character, the strength of character that he had, and the determination to stick with it no matter what. And most of all, I believe he believed in God and relied heavily more and more through the war on God.
You used a model for Lincoln by the name of Chet Dameron. Chet has played Lincoln in a number of scenes.
Yes.
And he reenacts Lincoln's spiritual conviction. Let's look at it.
Yes.
When I think of my years as president, it seems that the war always comes to the top. It was my great concern. I desired to do two things. I wanted to save our nation, and I wanted to free the slaves. By God's grace and with his help, I believe I did both of those things. He did it through me, through circumstances, and through other people that surrounded me. I came to the conclusion after much thought and prayer and I believe divine guidance. I believed in divine guidance. Yes, I did. That these were people too, just like we white people. The Declaration of Independence made that very clear, that all men and women are created equal before God. This is an inalienable right given to all of us by God, not by any government. So the least I felt I could do was to give the slave the same opportunities that we had. It's taken a long time. I don't know how much longer it'll take. But those are the two things that I wanted to accomplish in my lifetime as president of America, these United States.
There are decisions in life that are very difficult to make. Lincoln made those decisions because he was one who wanted to live in harmony with the conscientious convictions of his inner soul. Nathan, that's one of the things you've really admired in Lincoln.
It really is. He was a man of great integrity, and I think that perhaps came from his relationship with God.
It did. Chet Dameron talks about that relationship in another reenactment of Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know many people have said that I wasn't a Christian. I didn't talk about some of the things that Christians talk about, but I did believe in a great God who loved us all and who cares for all of us. Yeah. Often said that when a church dared to put over the doorway these words, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself," I would like to join that church.
When we come back after the break, we're going to explore the heart of this man, Lincoln. And we're going to listen to testimonies of historians that speak of his integrity and sense that God is calling us to live a life of non-compromise filled with integrity. Welcome back. During this program, we're talking about a sketch that Nathan Green has done of Abraham Lincoln right after the Battle of Antietam in 1862. It was one of the darkest days of the war, and it was a difficult time in Lincoln's life, and he was really seeking deep guidance from God. Nathan, one of the books you gave me in preparation for this series, and particularly this program, was a book by Joe Wheeler called Stories of Our Most Admired President, Abraham Lincoln, A Man of Faith and Courage.
Yes.
And it really probes from original sources the spirituality of Lincoln's life.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, in the research for this painting, I acquired a pretty extensive library of Lincoln books, and I'm even in the process of reading Carl Sandburg's multi-volume set. But of all the books that I have on Lincoln, I feel Joe Wheeler's book is the best. I mean, it addresses the Christianity of Lincoln and his religious thoughts at the time. And many historians are reluctant to go there, but Joe Wheeler, is very authentic sources, has attacked that issue head on.
Let's let Joe share from the background of his own experience, Lincoln's experience.
Well, as they drifted into war, Lincoln realized that without God, nothing could be accomplished. And each day that followed found him more and more on his knees. And the entire Civil War period was essentially a moment-by-moment walk of Lincoln with God. And especially this time period that Nathan Green is portraying, when in the very darkest day of his life, the darkest day of the presidency, the darkest day of our history as a nation, we see Lincoln on his knees. We see Lincoln with the little Bible, with them unable to win battles, with the press getting more and more negative, and losing his wife in terms of his partner there for all practical purposes. Lincoln was near despondency, about as near as he ever got. And it was at this time that he finally had it out and he had an epiphany. The reason why God would not stand up for the North, would not bless the North, was that the North had not taken a positive stand on the greatest evil of the age, the greatest evil in our history, and that was slavery. And he became convicted that until the North did this, God could not bless them. And that is why he made a solemn vow that if Lee would reach, he was looking for anything that would give him an excuse for doing what he wanted to do, what he had wanted to do since the very beginning and before, to free the slaves. And he said, if Lee retreats from the North, because it looked like Lee would stay in the North and the war would be over, then I have made a solemn vow before God that the slaves would be freed. He wouldn't even take a vote in his cabinet because they were too divided. He just said, this is my vow. And lo and behold, once he had decided on this, the domino started cascading the other direction. And I have studied that period. And it's like at that moment, God took sides. Even Stonewall Jackson, his greatest general, died a friendly fire at Chancellorsville. And the North never again was threatened in the way that they had been before then.
Joe Wheeler, on the back of his book, Abraham Lincoln, A Man of Faith and Courage, quotes Lincoln. And Lincoln made this statement, if there is anything that links the human with the divine, it is the courage to stand by a principle when everybody else rejects it. What a motto to live by in our own lives.
Oh, yeah.
This deep bedrock principle, when God gives you convictions in your heart, to compromise those simply means to drift further and further and further away from the ideal that God's leading you to.
Yes.
One compromise often leads to the next.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And there was great pressure on Lincoln to compromise. And I think for anyone who believes in providence, I think you can't look at Lincoln and his journey through the Civil War period without believing that God placed him there at that time. He knew he was the man that was needed. And it does appear that Providence played a role during this war.
Comment on that a little bit more. Why?
Well, you know, what Joe Wheeler was saying, that it wasn't until a definite act was done to eliminate slavery that the tide turned in the war. Whereas before, all the battles seemed to always go to the South. Now things started to turn around, things started to change. You began to see victories for the North and a gradual progression until the conclusion of the war.
We've been looking at one sketch, and I understand you have done actually two sketches.
I have.
What is the second sketch like?
The second one is very similar to this one, but it's somewhat sequential. He has just come into the tent, perhaps, and his coat is still on, and he kneels in prayer. And actually so he's praying. He's holding his hat, he's kneeling and praying. There's actually a quote from Lincoln. I'll have to paraphrase it because I don't have it in front of me, but he basically said, you know, that the more I am feeling helpless in all of these circumstances, the more I find myself on my knees.
Lincoln drew strength to live in harmony with the principles of his conviction, not to compromise, both from his experience with God in prayer,
yeah,
and his experience in studying the Word of God.
That's right.
Although some historians have not quite accepted this reality of Lincoln's deep faith, a number of historians have actually seen that.
Yes.
As part of the research for this program, we've interviewed John Schilt, famed historian of Lincoln. Let's look at that just now.
Okay. So the shades of night fell on Friday, the 3rd of October, 1862. A weary Mr. Lincoln returned to his tent. The campfires were blazing. The lamps were lighted in General McClellan's tent and in his own. It had been a busy day. He had conferred with the generals, spoken with the private soldiers, thanked them for their bravery. He was touched by the scenes of battle and the stories of heavy losses in the cornfield at the Sunken Road and at Burnside Bridge. And no doubt, as he was weary in body, mind, and spirit, he would have turned to his favorite book, perhaps to one of his favorite psalms. And before he retired, he may have even knelt down and prayed some of the words that we sing in our day, God bless America, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.
This painting, this sketch that 'll become a painting, really reveals some of the darker times of Lincoln's life. We all go through pretty dark days. And you've kind of depicted that in a couple things that might not be obvious
in
the sketch.
If you pay close attention to some of the details in the sketch, I've included some elements that tell something about the personal struggles that Lincoln was going through. It's hard to see, but on his hat, there's a mourning band. It's a black piece of cloth that goes around the beaver hat. If you look at the photographs that Alexander Gardner took of Lincoln when he visited there, you can see the mourning band on his hat. That was there because his son Willie died earlier that year, and Lincoln was still in mourning. There's a picture, a tintype picture on the desk, the field desk, of Willie. And on one side is his portrait, on the other side is a lock of his hair. I found an actual picture of that tintype that Lincoln had. Lincoln faced not only the death of his son Willie, but he also, as Joe Wheeler hinted at in his interview, his wife was never quite the same emotionally after Willie's death. This was very, very difficult for her. And Lincoln not only was bearing the burdens of the country, but he had personal burdens he was bearing. This is a very serious time for him, and he turned to God when he needed strength.
All of us go through those serious times, and this painting communicates a man of faith, a man of integrity, facing the challenges of life, mm-hmm. both the personal challenges that he was going through,
yes.
and the challenges the country was going through,
mm-hmm.
on his knees in prayer, mm-hmm. and deeply within God's Word in study.
Yes.
As you face challenges in your life, you can face them head on because you know that there's a God that cares for you and a God that loves you and a God that's there for you in the good times as well as the bad times of life. As you face struggles in your life, a about standing for principle, you can face them with the solid confidence that God will give you the strength to meet whatever you have to meet. As we come back after the break, we'll look at just how to do that. There was another leader who stood by the courage of his convictions as well. His name was Elijah, a Bible prophet. He lived in the days of King Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel formed a religious political union, and the people of God and the prophets of God were being persecuted. Elijah challenged Ahab, and they met on Mount Carmel. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and the false gods of Ahab and Jezebel and the heathen couldn't produce rain. Those prophets of Baal prayed for all day. No rain fell. And then Elijah prayed a simple prayer, and the rain began to fall. And Elijah echoed out at the end of that day to those prophets of Baal representing the political forces of Ahab. And Elijah said in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible says, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' But the people answered not a word." Those words of Elijah echo down the centuries. How long will you halt between two opinions? Abraham Lincoln was caught in the grip of those two opinions. Would he follow the popular majority, or would he follow the convictions of his own conscience? Could he actually sleep at night when men were not free, when women were held in bondage and sold as cattle, when children were taken from place to place? Lincoln looked at the evil of slavery, and he recognized that he had to do something. He could not compromise the integrity of his convictions. He could not falter between two opinions, because truth is truth, whether the majority accepts it as truth or not. Is there some area in your life where God has been calling you to take some action, but you have been halting between two opinions? Have you been faithful in following the deep convictions of your own conscience? Are there areas in your spiritual life where you too are compromising? Do you hear the call of God? How long will you halt between two opinions? You see, Lincoln wouldn't follow the popular majority, but he knew that he did not have the strength to follow the courage of his convictions alone. Nathan Green's paintings and these two sketches capture so powerfully and so poignantly the source of Lincoln's strength. The one sketch shows Lincoln reading his Bible with the Word of God opened, seeking strength and power from God's word. The other sketch shows Lincoln on his knees, head bowed. In the distance, there are the campfires that are still flickering. In the distance, the tents of the Union soldiers. They've gone through dark days. They've lost battles. Men have lay on the battlefield wounded, and many have been killed. And Lincoln in prayer is meditating upon the battle, upon the war, but he knows that the outcome is right. He knows that truth will triumph. He knows that one day righteousness will ring through the land. He knows that he's made the right decisions and that he's on the right side. Do the right thing. If you're facing some decision in your life now, do the right thing. Do that thing that you know in your heart is morally right. Don't let the majority shape you and mold you into their image. Let Jesus shape you and mold you into his image as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the knowledge that Jesus Christ will give us the strength and the power to live lives of moral integrity. Those are the kind of lives we want to live, Father. Lives of conviction and purpose through your strength. And we make that decision just now in Jesus' name. Amen. Nathan, your studio and your pictures inspire us all.
Thank you so much.
Until next time, God bless you.